Good afternoon and welcome to Your Turn, a program that comes to you periodically on Vermont Public Radio. A chance for you to talk with people here at VPR about programming, news, our classical network, to offer comments and ask questions about what you hear on the air, from music to news to fundraising. I'm Steve Zenda, and I'm joined on today's program by VPR President Robin Turneau. Robin, good to see you again.
Hey, Steve. It's great to be here today.
And we're here live for the next hour, so Robin can update us on VPR's programming, finances, and other aspects of the operation, and for you to let Robin know about anything VPR-related that's on your mind. There are a couple of ways you can do that. 1-800-639-2211. You can call us at that number. Or you can go to vpr.net, and right at the top of the homepage, you'll see a place you can click on to offer your comments. There have been a lot of changes since we last talked with Robin. There have been lots of programming changes. I'll mention a few just to jog listeners' memories and give folks some ideas about what they might want to weigh in on. We've got new weeknight and Saturday programs like Friday Night Jazz with Reuben Jackson, TED Radio Hour, Q, a program from CBC. There are new local programs on the air, including Art Hounds, Neil Charnoff's Weekly Arts Conversation, and the addition of VPR Cafe on Sunday. And online, there have been significant changes in VPR's website recently. Also, an expansion of Public Post online, which covers community meetings and developments. And there are some changes in VPR's coverage area, notably in Brattleboro and VPR Classical in Rutland. So I'm sure people will have comments about these things. I can sense a lot of pent-up energy since it's been a while since we did this, Robin. And again, the number 1-800-639-2211, or go to vpr.net. You can also go to our Facebook page to post a comment. Let's start on the financial side, though. If I did my calculations correctly, Robin, total revenue from listeners, business underwriting, and grants in fiscal 2012 was about $5.9 million. A little over half came from listeners, 20% or so from underwriters, and less than 10% from grants. When you look at VPR's revenue, can you sort of give us a picture of its health and whether you see any trends in terms of how it breaks down from listeners and underwriters?
Sure. Well, I have to say that the last several years have been very, very strong when it comes to the support from our listeners, and that's incredibly gratifying. We right now have more members than we've ever had before at 27,000 members, our sustaining members at 10,200, which is wonderful. It's almost double what we had 2 years ago. So I'm seeing a great deal of strength on that side of the revenue. Underwriting, it continues to grow at a slower pace, I would say, maybe 2 or 3% a year.
That was an area that fell off during the recession.
Exactly. That's what happened a number of years ago, 4 years ago or so, was we saw a big dip during the economic problems in that first year, 2008, 2009. And we are slowly recovering from that on the underwriting side of things. But we're seeing great hope right now that that's picking up even more steam on a month-by-month basis. So that's an area that I can see that I see more growth into the future. Mm-hmm. As I look at the revenue picture as well, though, of course, CPB funding is a part of that. That's about 7% of VPR's funding. And that took a 5% hit this year because of sequestration and all that was going on in Washington, D.C. So we've seen that number, the percentage, go down over the years. So it's less of a percent of our operating budget than it had been in the past.
We mentioned revenues. We didn't mention expenses. Is VPR in the black?
Well, I would say yes and no. We had a planned deficit over the last couple of years. We recognized that we wanted to continue to invest in our public service. So working together with the board, we made a plan for the last couple of years to draw a little bit from our reserves for the past couple of years to ensure that VPR could continue to grow, could continue to meet the information needs of our audience. And so we have had a slight deficit over the last couple of years that we've covered from some reserves that we've had. But now going into the next year, we are going to have a balanced budget. So it was planned. We've carried it out. We actually beat the projection. We were going to have one more year, but we are going to have a balanced budget.
Our number here as we talk with VPR President Robin Turneau is 1-800-639-2211. It's really an opportunity Not only for you to offer your comments and questions about VPR to Robin, but also to hear what other listeners say. It's really interesting sometimes to hear the diversity of opinions
Absolutely.
And ideas that people offer about Vermont Public Radio. And again, you can do that at 1-800-639-2211. Go to vpr.net. You'll see a place right at the top of the page where you can write your comment, and also on our Facebook page. You know, most listeners, talking about the financial end of things, Robin, recognize the necessity of on-air fundraising, but most listeners also feel it's an interruption to their regular listening habits and the regular programming they tune into. Is there more on-air fundraising now than there once was?
No, I would say not. As a matter of fact, over the last couple of years, we've been slowly reducing the number of days of on-air fundraising. There was a high point year a couple of years ago where I think it was 32 or 3 days. I think we've dropped that back. I don't have the exact number for this year, but I think it's around 30. So we have been slowly reducing the number of days that we've been fundraising. We do have some of these campaigns like we just had during the month of April where we focus on sustaining memberships for a month, not mm-hmm. by interrupting the programming, but by really focusing on it in a targeted way with announcements throughout the day. So I think there's also, of course, that perception mm-hmm. that's fundraising as well. And yes, it is fundraising as well. But that's very strategic as we have those messages, because we do see we do want to reduce on-air fundraising. We recognize that it's not everybody's favorite time of the year for VPR, but that sustaining memberships, we feel, are something that we'd like to grow into the future so that we can count on those funds on a monthly basis so that we can reduce our on-air fundraising.
And I wonder, too, because clearly website use is increasing for Vermont Public Radio as it is for every news organization practically. Can that translate into more online fundraising and less on-air fundraising?
That's a really good question, I would say. We hope that it could translate into website fundraising, whether it's pop-ups that say it's time to make a pledge to VPR, or through when we have our on-air fundraisers, people who listen online are also listening to the pledge drives as well. But because we know more people are interacting with VPR through their mobile phones, through their tablets, it's the way that we are all getting our news and our information in different ways than we did just 5 years ago. And so as we look to the future, we are trying to think of innovative ways that we can approach fundraising that might be a little bit of a departure mm-hmm. from the way we've done it in the past.
Well, we'll talk more about what sure. VPR is doing online. It strikes me that the radio in VPR is sort of becoming smaller, while other aspects of the way VPR gets information out are becoming larger. And maybe along those lines, let's go to the phones and talk to Sylvia in Essex. Hi, Sylvia. Welcome.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. I'm just wondering if you have plans to expand it to other media like TV or video or other digital platforms.
Thanks, Sylvia.
That's an interesting question, Sylvia. As Steve was just alluding to, you know, we do call ourselves VPR. We are Vermont Public Radio, but more and more we actually think of ourselves as Vermont Public Media, because that's where we all are in terms of our media usage. When you go to the VPR website, you expect to have the text written of something that you hear on VPR, not only being able to listen to it as well, but also perhaps to see video, also perhaps to see more photographs and slideshows, all of that. So that is part of our mission, to become the most relevant media source in Vermont. So we're definitely clearly focused on how can we meet our listeners and our audience needs on any platform that you want to interact with us on.
Do you expect VPR television to appear in the future?
I don't expect a VPR television, no.
Here's a similar comment. We received an email from Craig and Wilder, who writes, "I don't have a question about programming. It's impossible to create an on-air schedule that will please everyone." But Craig writes, "In the past few years, the public radio community has made efforts to adapt to the current media reality. When NPR was created 43 years ago, the concept of a drive-time news program on the radio was innovative And again, 30 years with morning news programming and then on the weekend. Craig's question is this. VPR is no longer Vermont Public Radio, he writes. It's Vermont Public Media. So how well is public radio doing in adapting to modernity? Robin, I know you go to a lot of public radio meetings around the country. Maybe you could give us an overview of what's afoot in terms of public radio adapting to all those different platforms you mentioned.
Absolutely. I would say the stations across the country are at varying levels of adaption. VPR is trying to be more on the forefront of how we can meet our listeners' needs, our audiences' needs, in terms of the being very present on the digital platforms. We've just gone through a big change in our website. So if you go to the VPR website, vpr.net, you'll see that it's different. This is one of the ways that we are adapting, because this new website will allow us to interface with NPR programming much better, so that when you come to the VPR website, you'll have more of a seamless kind of an experience. It also has an improved experience overall with mobile devices. So the new website is responsive in its design, where in the past, if you tried to review the VPR website on your mobile phone, it would be way too small to see. But now it's responsive, so it knows the viewing screen, whether it's a tablet or whether it's a smartphone or whether it's your laptop. It's another way that we're trying to adapt our approach. And we're also working with our reporters to make sure that our reporters know how to write for our website, because it's different when you read something on a website as opposed to when you are scripting out a radio story.
It takes resources. It takes money to address those additional and expanded areas that public radio wants to address. So how does VPR do that? Does it require taking from Peter to pay Paul a little bit in order to support this increased demand for online services, for example?
I think it's a more of a holistic approach, where we take a look at all that we're doing. We sometimes have to make hard decisions to stop doing some things so that we can invest in other areas of VPR. I like to think that VPR is a responsive and nimble organization, so that we can react to the environment that we are in. And we've had to do that over the last several years. We've had to tighten the belt a little bit, really focus on those things that are important. And the bottom line for us is really, is this the best way to meet the needs of our listeners? Is this the best way to serve our audience? And so I would say that we make decisions on a daily basis of how to allocate the resources that we have.
Again, we're talking today on a program called Your Turn with VPR President Robin Turneau, and inviting your comments and questions about VPR's finances, its online presence, its on-air presence in terms of programming or fundraising, whatever VPR-related ideas or subjects are on your mind. At 1-800-639-2211. You can also go to vpr.net. And if you look at the banner across the top of the page, you'll see a place where you can click on to write your comments, and also on our Facebook page. Let's move to Tunbridge, where David has been waiting. Hi, David. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you. My concern is the dropping of Living on Earth as a program. It seems ironic that a place like Vermont, which is very environmentally aware, would not have a program dedicated to the environment.
Okay, thanks, David. When we decided to drop Living on Earth from the schedule, it was more of a decision based on the fact that programming, especially a lot of the programming we've received from National Public Radio, from APM, and also our own programming, had been focusing more and more and featuring more and more stories about the environment as a part of what we do every day. And so as we looked at Living on Earth, it seemed to us that we were already serving that need for reporting on the environment throughout the schedule that we have at VPR, and that's why we made that change.
Just generally speaking, when programming changes have been made, and there seem to have been a lot in the past couple of years, and maybe that's just perception. It just seems as though there have been more than normal. Mm-hmm. On what basis are those changes made?
Well, you know, we're working to adapt our schedule so that we can evolve to meet the listener preferences. We're also trying occasionally to take risks because it's important for us to do that, to put a show out there for a week like we've done in the past and ask our listeners, what do you think? What do you think of this show?
Well, when you're basing it partly, at least, on listener preferences, how do you go about ascertaining when one listener likes this and the next listener doesn't like that? How do you ascertain what listener preferences are?
Well, we get a lot of feedback here at VPR, that's for certain. So we get a lot of listener comments, but we also take a look at what other stations are carrying in terms of what are their what's their programming. We take a look at our audience data. We take a look at a lot of information, including what are the new programs that have come up that might be something that we want to add to our schedule, and is it something that's going to repeat information that's been covered in other shows, or is this something that might bring new listeners into VPR? Of course, we're always trying to make certain we can attract younger, newer audiences to VPR. So there's just a lot that goes into making a program decision.
Right. When you say audience data, I think you're talking specifically about the Arbitron ratings, which are done in markets around the country, and they can break it down hour by hour in terms of what your a station's listenership is for specific programs. So I gather from that, VPR can look at that data and say, well, this hour the listenership drops off, this hour it's strong, and that plays how big a role in the decision?
It's certainly a tool that we use, and we'd get this information from Arbitron about our audience twice a year, and we look at it very carefully. We look more for trends to say, is this show meeting the needs of our listeners at that time? Are people coming to VPR? Are they going away from VPR? What about are we holding on to younger listeners? Or if somebody is leaving VPR, are they going to another source or another station or a different media? So it definitely plays into our decision making, but in the end, it really comes down to our mission of serving Vermont and being the essential and trusted independent voice for news and for music and culture in our region.
Here's an email from Al in Burke, who has a lot to say critically about VPR. He writes, "I'm sick and tired of all the rebroadcasts." He says, "I also do not enjoy the new jazz format. I've just stopped listening." He doesn't care for bird notes. Also says, "I think the way you do way too much advertising yourself and promoting shows. It's public radio, not commercial radio." And overall, in Al's view, it appears to him that VPR is catering, quote, to a small group of whiners or board members. "It would serve you better," he writes, "to survey your membership before you embark on major programming changes, especially your sustaining members." Just to pick up on one of Al's comments, because I think he's not alone in this, in expressing concerns, to put it maybe euphemistically, about the rebroadcasts which VPR has.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, Al, first of all, I have to say I'm sorry that we're not meeting your needs. The rebroadcast, that's an interesting question right now, especially at this time, as we talked about a little while ago, of more and more people going to our website, where, of course, we archive every show that we broadcast.
So people can listen on demand.
They absolutely could. I'll take one example of our rebroadcast of Vermont Edition. So, of course, we have it live at noon. We heard a great performance earlier today on Vermont Edition. And then we air it in the evening at 7 o'clock at night, and it's the same show, but you know, same day. We feel that is a very important public service, and the reason that we air it twice is because we do hear from people who say they can't listen to Vermont Edition at noon because it's at a time that they might be at work, and so for them, 7 o'clock at night is another time that they could listen. And there's something about the ease of being able to just turn on your radio and having Vermont Edition be there, for instance, in the evening, that people certainly do appreciate. And so that's one of the reasons why we rebroadcast, to provide an opportunity for people who can't listen at other times of the day to tune in. And that gets to the whole idea of how people listen to radio. People listen to radio in many different ways. Some people visit VPR for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and then they'll move along. Other people listen throughout the day. So for those people who listen throughout the day, that might be more of a concern that we have the rebroadcast.
Let's return to our phones and to folks who are calling Robin Turneau, VPR's president, during this hour at 1-800-639-2211. To Concord, Vermont, and Jim. Hi, Jim.
Hi. By the way, I love the rebroadcast sometimes because I listen to certain things that I could only listen to at that time, and I couldn't hear at the original time, so the rebroadcast is perfect for me.
Oh, good. Thanks for saying
that.
That's
not my question. My question is, I moved up here last year to retire. I was very excited. I moved up from New Hampshire because down there I could get VPR, classical VPR radio, music. And when I was excited that when I moved up here, I would be able to do so. However, the area I live in, which is sort of mountainous, as is a lot of Vermont, I cannot receive the signal for the classical station.
Mm.
And I was wondering if there is in the works an ability to extend that with the greater coverage that you have with the regular VPR.
Thanks, Jim.
Okay, Jim, we have been working to expand our VPR classical network over the last several years. We've added a number of stations. In the past year, we've added a station in Rutland. We also added a station in the Brattleboro area. Those are both translators. But we continue to look at ways that we can serve the full state, all the state's population, with VPR classical. But it is difficult. I'll just tell you that it's difficult to identify stations that we can put on the air that we can buy. It's also very expensive. So I, at this time, I don't believe we have any plans to serve Concord with a VPR classical station. But I do encourage you to check out our HD signal, because if you get a good strong signal from VPR News, most likely you do on our station from St. Johnsbury at 88.5, you might be able to get an HD radio and hear VPR classical.
Because there are multiple channels available to you
exactly.
From a single frequency.
So you would turn on 88.5-2 for VPR classical. So that would be one way. And, of course, if you have a good internet connection, then streaming VPR classical might be another option.
Right. I wonder if you have a sense, you know, we touched on this briefly about the kind of increasing use of the website to access VPR news and such. I mean, to what degree is that happening at this point? Are there people who are exclusively website users versus listeners?
Oh, I'm sure that there are people who are exclusively website listeners. We are streaming the number of hours that people are streaming VPR, which means listening to VPR or VPR classical through the internet, has just been going up, 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 up. And right now we have about over 100,000 people who listen to VPR, mm-hmm. VPR classical online each month. So that's been, as I said, that's been going up. Yeah. And the number of website visitors has also been going up.
Does that, combined with the expansion of broadband in Vermont, kind of begin to relegate the expense of actually putting up transmitters so people can get the service over the air to the dustbin in a way? Does it become less of a cost-benefit situation?
At this time, I would say that because our audience for VPR and VPR Classical combined, the listening audience is more than 200,000 people every week that tune in. That certainly is the way that most people listen or take in the VPR's programming. But over time, I would say probably 10, 15, 20 years, that might be the kind of question that we'll ask, Steve. But at this time, I think of our operations and our approach as being kind of like a bridge, where we have our one foundation of the bridge in the past and the here and now of people listening on over the air to our traditional analog signal, to our 24 stations that we have across the state. But of course, into the future, the other foundation of that bridge, having a focus on digital streaming, and as well as mm-hmm. a very robust website where people can listen on demand or read stories, et cetera.
Let me just pass along quickly a few comments that listeners submitted before the program, largely. Bob writes that Tom Ashbrook is one of the best things on the air. He doesn't like the wheezy fake professorial poetry readings by the anonymous man who sounds like Garrison. At 8:30 in the morning, I assume Tom means Bob means, and that is in fact Garrison Keillor.
Writer's Almanac, Garrison.
That's
Keillor, right.
Joni says programming changes are too constant. She's not a fan of TED Talks. She likes Here and Now. Lurig says TED Radio Hour is a positive addition and should remain. Wendy in Moncton, also another TED Radio Hour fan, also likes Spark and The Moth, but Wendy doesn't care for On Point or Here and Now. Would you consider replacing them with the Diane Rehm Show? That's a question we hear a lot, I think, over time, and it's a popular program.
The Diane Rehm Show is carried, I believe, on New Hampshire Public Radio. We never have carried that program. When we were looking at a program for that time of day, we chose On Point with Tom Ashbrook. We find that program was a better fit at that time, and we still feel it's a better fit for our audience. We have been impressed. I was actually just at BUR the other day, and the WBUR, the folks over at On Point, kind of gave me a little round of applause because they get so many callers from Vermont, and obviously that the program is resonating with our listeners.
Here's Dan in Montpelier calling for VPR President Robin Turneau. Hi, Dan.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Robin. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi, Dan.
I've been listening to the back and forth, and it's obviously quite a challenge to please all the people all the time, and I appreciate that. But I do have a complaint to add to the negative chorus, which is against Marketplace. I find Marketplace to be consistently disappointing I turn it off more often than I listen to it. I find it conventional, conservative, nowhere near the cutting edge or even close to it that I normally expect from VPR. And I might as well read the Wall Street Journal. So count me in the column of if you want to save money, drop Marketplace.
Hey, Dan.
Thanks for taking my call.
Go ahead, Dan, hang on.
Dan, did you say you listened to Marketplace at 6:30 at night, or is this the morning segment, or both?
Both, I would say, but I'm referring more actually to the half hour. You know, I try to hang in there actually to get to the rebroadcast of the 7 o'clock show, which I'm
Vermont edition.
There that I can't listen to that normally during the day, and I find that terrific to listen to.
Hey, Dan,
but more often, yeah.
I just wonder, you know, for the kind of financial information you get from Marketplace, do you have a preferred source for that information that you go to instead?
Well, that's what I'm saying. That what's on Marketplace is so conventional, and often I bias may be too strong, but it's pretty close that I can read the Wall Street Journal and I read the newspapers, and you can keep current without much trouble. It doesn't contribute very much at all, and I find it's often weeks behind as well. It's very safe to the point of timid. So.
Thanks, Dan.
I just don't find it contributes to the dialogue.
Okay, thank you very much, Dan. You know, thank you for your comment, because I actually, frankly, hadn't heard a comment like that before. But I appreciate your sharing that with us, and I will pay more attention to listening carefully and see what I think over the next couple of months.
This is Your Turn, a program which is a chance for you to weigh in with your thoughts on VPR's news and music programming. Finances or any other related topic. We've certainly covered the waterfront so far in just the first half hour of the program. And if anything has kind of prompted you to give us a call, the number is 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. If it's easier for you, go to vpr.net. At the top of the homepage there, you'll see a place to click on and submit your comment or question. We'll continue in a moment.
Have you ever heard an idea that changed the way you look at the world?
Everything we think,
we've
feel.
Had to believe in impossible
infinite
things.
Infinite possibility, and that sense of potential. And I realize
and we've had to refuse
persist.
To fear failure.
You've got to persist through failure.
You can contemplate the meaning of infinity.
I'm Guy Raz. Join me each week for Ideas Worth Spreading on the TED Radio Hour from NPR.
Listen to the TED Radio Hour, Saturdays at noon on VPR.
Coming up next at 3 o'clock on VPR on Fresh Air, chain stores have made chic clothing cheap and accessible, but there's often a hidden cost. Low wages and the often unsafe working conditions where the clothing is produced. On the next Fresh Air, we'll talk about the transformation of the clothing industry with Elizabeth Klein, author of Overdressed. That's at 3 on Fresh Air here on VPR.
Good afternoon. I'm Steve Zind, directing your questions and comments this afternoon to VPR President Robin Turneau. We've got another half hour or so to field your calls and comments at 1-800-639-2211. Again, you can also go to vpr.net to submit a question or comment. A couple of notes, or at least a note, Robin, about VPR Classical. This from a listener in Woodstock. I was initially happy when VPR Classical started and listened every day. Then it slowly turned into what I now call VPR Piano. Each day is more than 50% piano, far more than its weighting of the classical repertory. I don't dislike piano, just not a continual diet.
Okay, interesting.
How is the VPR classical diet?
Well, we try to share a full range of classical music. We try to strike the right balance between modern music and in classics, instrumental as well as vocal favorites, and also obscure pieces. So we do strike the right balance. It sounds like we're not striking the right balance for that person, but we welcome the feedback and we'll be watchful of that.
Let's move to Montreal. Laura is calling. Hi, Laura. Welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for waiting.
So I don't really have a question. I wanted to make a comment. I'm a new listener in my early 30s, and I discovered your radio station in late last year, I would say, in December. And I really appreciate the diversity of the programming. I appreciate sort of like this intellectual news that I can't get. You know, I like hearing about restoring wetlands in Pakistan. And then I do like the poetry almanac, the writer's almanac thing in the morning. It provides a lot of sort of interesting discussion for my daughter and I. She's very intellectual as well. So I just wanted to thank you guys for what I think is a great radio station.
Well, thank you very much, Laura. Please help spread the word about VPR in Montreal. That's terrific.
Thanks, Laura. Let's move to Travis in Burlington. Travis, you're on.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
I was just calling to say that I disagree, and I feel that the Writer's Almanac just brings down the whole morning.
why do you feel that way?
It's just boring. I mean, I like some of the history stuff that's on it sometimes.
Yeah.
And honestly, I listen to VPR all the time when I'm in the car, sometimes when I'm at work, and I know at 8:30, 8:40 when it comes on, it just slows down everything.
Is it the reading of the poetry that gets to you?
That more than anything, yeah.
I was wondering if it was actually the content itself, or was it the person reading it? Is it Garrison Keillor, or is it?
No, because I mean, I love Perry Home Companion, so it's not him.
Okay.
It's just, I get bored listening to it.
Travis, do you think that you would appreciate it at a different time of day, or is it just a no-go for you?
Well, I know that when it's on, it means I'm running late, so that is one helpful thing.
Maybe Travis would like it at 2 or 3 a.m. Travis, thanks a lot for the call.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Here's another caller from Burlington. This is Julie. Hi, Julie. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks for having me. So interesting note. I'm in my 30s. I moved to Vermont about 18 months ago after living in much bigger places like Washington, D.C. in the Midwest. And so I've gotten a diversity of NPR stations. And I really appreciate VPR. In fact, I just became a sustaining member earlier this week because I really appreciate the local content. When I first moved here, I moved here for a job by myself, and I felt like shows like Vermont Edition really helped acclimate me more to the local environment. I also just want to add, I'm not a fan of the Writer's Almanac, but I do love the morning programming. I also, you know, I listen to the radio before I go to bed, and I appreciate the BBC NewsHour that you have. I don't know if it's the NewsHour, but the BBC programming you have in the evening.
Uh-huh.
And I was really hoping to hear that maybe you might be introducing some more local content, because it's kind of hard. I can't always listen to it at work. So we're listening to the rebroadcast of Vermont Edition in the evening. Sometimes it's a disappointment because I want to chime in or, you know, I want to get something and I can't because it's a rebroadcast. So I was just wondering if there was any plans for more local content.
And Julie, just before we let you go, is there anything specific you had in mind?
No, I mean, I like that you guys started the new Art Hound. I like the VPR Cafe. I'm a foodie, but I was disappointed. I believe that's only a 15-minute segment once a week, so I was, like, hoping for a little bit more. You know, we have such a thriving, not only environmental community, but also, you know, a food community, it seems like, with such an emphasis on agriculture and eating. I don't know if it's possible to do something more like that, but I have a feeling a lot of people my age who are in their 30s would appreciate something like that. You know, also, I will say that I walk to work and I listen to VPR on my Android on the way to work. So I really just want to thank you for making VPR available wherever I'm at.
Great. Thanks, Julie. Appreciate the call.
Thank you, Julie. That's terrific. We've heard from more people who are downloading the Android app or the iPhone app and accessing VPR in exactly that way. But I was really curious to hear what Julie said about her her ideas for local programming into the future, because it's a question that we are looking at very carefully right now. As we look to the future, we're at the beginning of a strategic plan where we're nearly finalizing our strategic plan for the next 3 years, I should say, and we're looking carefully at how can we take a look at our local programming and figure out what are those needs of the community? What would our listeners want to hear more of if we were to invest more in our local programming? Is it more arts? Is it more food? Is it more books? Is it more hard news? Or is it conversations like call-in programs like Vermont Edition is? Or is there a different mm-hmm. approach that you'd like us to take? Or is it sports, for instance?
When it comes to the resources to do a local program versus what it costs to pick up an hour or two of national programming, what's the difference in costs?
It's a significant difference. To produce a local show, let's take Vermont Edition as an example. You know, you listen to Vermont Edition, you hear Jane, but you don't hear the fact that there's three producers in the background that are doing a lot of the work to line up the interviews, to make to get the good questions, to really help Jane understand the full subject matter. And so there's four staff people right there, and then, of course, the time of the day where we have a person who takes the calls and a person who's at the board. So there's a lot of people behind the scenes. And, yes, it does take a lot more to produce a local program than it does to carry a program like a Fresh Air, which might cost VPR $30,000 to $40,000 a year.
But there are some local programs. I'm thinking of Neil's arts discussion every week that – probably don't represent an additional cost.
That was more of a priority for us, where we said Neil is our All Things Considered host. He has regular conversations. We just want to commit that time on Thursdays to having it be a conversation about the arts.
We'll go back to the phones in a moment. I just wanted to share a comment emailed from Joe in Burlington along the same lines of what we've been talking about. He writes, "I think VPR could create and present more content based on local events from around the state and commentary on events happening in Vermont and nationally. New and timely content could come from VPR staff and commentators, higher education representatives, and partnerships with Vermont media to comment on and extend understanding of emerging stories. Media partners could include VT Digger or 7 Days. And Joe writes, currently too much on-air time is spent on already published headlines. So that's sort of a comment on the news coverage.
Interesting. Well, one of the things that he mentioned was, of course, our partnerships. And I'm very pleased with the partnership that we've had with the Rutland Herald and Times Argus, where we have been sharing content back and forth. And some of their reporters are actually reporting on our airwaves these days. And it's been tremendous at using the resources of our reporters in a way to have a broader reach, you might say.
All right, back to the phones. This is Dix in Royalton. Dix, welcome.
Yes, hello. I've been waiting for so long to say how much I miss Robert Resnick on Sunday and just the Sunday programming in general. It's been a while since he's been on, but it used to really make my day, and it just seemed to fit so perfectly. And it seems to go from bad to worse with more talking heads, and it's just talk, and so that Sunday respite was so wonderful. I seem to have the radio off most of the day now on Sunday because I've already heard the programs, and all the repeats are just a little bit too much. On the media was perfect right in the morning after the news, and a little repetition from Garrison and Robert Resnick, and that was wonderful. Anyway, love Joel Nashnan and wish he could be on a little bit more. Says You is the most boring program I have ever heard. And a word for Garrison. I stop everything in the morning to listen to Garrison and a poem. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Dix. We'll just pick up on Dix's comment, and I know she isn't alone, about the Robert Resnick's program moving to later in the day on Sunday.
Yeah, I was going to make sure that Dix knows that program is aired in the evening now, so we didn't take it off the air on Sundays. We just moved it to the evening, and that change was made for a number of different reasons. We took a careful look at our weekend listening, and we wanted to make certain that our audience knew that we had music every weekend night. So that's Friday night, of course, with Reuben Jackson and jazz, Saturday night with My Place and American Roots, and then Sunday night with Robert's program. So there's that regularity to the schedule. So you know what you'll find on VPR. VPR's core purpose is really as a news and information service. And so that's why we were prioritizing that type of programming during the day on Sundays. But we've heard from people who, like you, Dix, who say that doesn't really work for you to have all the traditions on in the evening. But we've also heard from a lot of people who say it works great because they weren't able to listen on a Sunday afternoon, and they're thrilled to now be able to listen to all the traditions. And one more point about all the traditions. We are looking in the future over the next 9 months or so, 6 to 9 months, of ways to make that program available for listening online. We have a lot of rights issues that we have to work through. We have some distribution rules we're working through, but there might be a way that we can have it on our website so you can listen at another time.
That's maybe some Joel Nashman's fans' ears perked up at that. Is there a chance that My Place 2 might be available online?
Absolutely. That My Place and All the Traditions are the two programs that we're looking at to try to make those available online.
And we should mention, in terms of scheduling of music programs, we did hear from some listeners, Richard in Danville and Mary, who both wish that Joel could be on at a different time that was more convenient for them.
He's been on that Saturday night at 8 since 25 years ago.
Here's Denise in Montpelier calling for Robin Turneau today. Hi, Denise.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
I was wondering, would you ever get a frequency that I could pick up for VPR Classical? Because I miss it at night. I don't care for the BBC. I have to listen to another radio station, and I miss VPR Classical.
Denise, are you right downtown in Montpelier?
Yes, I'm in the bowl.
Yeah, Denise, it is a tough spot. But let me tell you that as we look at the areas of our state that are not covered by VPR Classical right now, Montpelier is our priority. We have made that our priority. We've heard from you. We've heard from others who say they really want VPR Classical in Montpelier. And we would love to serve Montpelier with VPR Classical. So that is something we're looking at very carefully. And I hope that we'll have an answer for you soon.
Thanks very much, Denise. Denise called 1-800-639-2211. You're welcome to call that number as well if you have comments or questions. In our remaining 15 minutes or so of this Your Turn program with VPR President Robin Turneau, 1-800-639-2211. Let's move to Carolyn in Northfield. Hi, Carolyn.
Hello. I just had a question related to the rebroadcast issue. I'm happy with rebroadcast, and I wondered if there were any thoughts to rebroadcasting any of the really good series that had been done in prior years, some associated with the Vermont Folk Life Center or on cross-border issues or on Lake Champlain. Has there been any thought to that?
We've got a bad connection, Carolyn, but I think we get the gist of what you asked.
Yeah, I think I heard you, Carolyn. We haven't been talking about that recently, but it's an interesting idea that we've partnered with the Vermont Folklife Center. I believe that's what you said, Carolyn, a number of times. And you're right, the series that they produce with that they've produced that we've aired have been tremendous and certainly have resonated with listeners. I believe that those are on our website, by the way. If you wanted to look for archived content on our website, you can find those there, but we have not talked about rebroadcasting series from the past, but it's something that we can certainly take a look at.
Carolyn, really appreciate the call. Here's Jackie in Brattleboro for Robin Turno. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Great.
Listen, I want you to know that I travel around the States a lot, and I've been in a lot of different places, and I even went to Chicago and had really big hopes for listening to BEZ. I ended up just streaming VPR because just about everything that is on, and I listen all day long and night. I don't watch TV. I find interesting. And in the programs that I don't find interesting, I find that it expands my mind. You know, it widens my horizon. So, you know, all the traditions, I was like, oh, my God. But, you know, now I love it. I love it. It's just
great.
A different thing.
That's great to hear.
Thanks, Jackie. Robin, one of Jackie's fellow Brattleborians, if that's the correct way to put it, submitted this comment to our VPR blog saying, with regard to the new station in Brattleboro, I was excited when it went on the air because I routinely lose VPR when I go to Northampton, Massachusetts. Sadly, the Brattleboro station is no better that far south than the station in Windsor. This despite the picture on VPR's website showing a larger coverage area.
Now, that's news to me because our new signal in Brattleboro, the one that is at 88.9, that is a very good, strong signal right down the 91 corridor, well into Massachusetts. So try it again. I'm wondering if there was some confusion about the VPR signal that we had in Brattleboro, which was at 94.3. That's now VPR Classical. So that was VPR News at one time. That's now VPR Classical. So if you're trying to tune into that, you're not going to hear it down into Massachusetts. But the 88.9 signal is a very big, robust signal, and you should be able to get that well beyond the border.
Okay. Well, hopefully that clears up that listener's concern. Let's address Martina's concern. Martina's calling from Norwich. Hi, Martina.
Thank you very much. Hello. Thank you very much for taking my call. I just want to tell you, I listen during the day to your news programs and then at night to the classical, which I love, too. There's only one set of programs on Sunday morning that I really don't care for. You have, I think you're going to try to change that so that we don't get the news for 4 hours. And then Garrison Keillor. I think that's just a little bit too much. But I do love Says You on 6 o'clock at night.
Okay, great. Well, I'm a big fan of Says You myself. It was great to see them here in Vermont last weekend. So I think that your point is on Sunday mornings, what you're hearing is something a little different than we had done in the past, where Sunday mornings we have a third hour of Weekend Edition. We used to carry Weekend Edition from 8 to 10. We've now added an hour, which is from 10 to 11. That's kind of like what we do during the week with Morning Edition, where Morning Edition is really a two-hour program, but we roll over one of the hours so that we can extend the program for those listeners who are tuning in a little bit later. Same kind of thing with Sunday morning. And what we've done with that Sunday morning, that third hour, is we've updated it, you might say, with some great new programs, including one of the segments that was mentioned before in this hour, which was the VPR Cafe. That's been a tremendous new addition for us. We're really focusing on the local food movement here in Vermont. That's a part of that third hour. We have also added a new VPR commentary on Sunday mornings, as well as a segment on architecture, which is called 99% Invisible. So I encourage you to listen a little later in that hour to see that fresh new content during that time.
When it comes to searching around and choosing new programming, is there a lot more available than there once was a number of years ago? Is the menu much larger?
I would say that it probably is a lot larger than in the past because there seems to be more independent producers who are doing great work. So we do have a lot to choose from as we take a look at our program schedule. And sometimes it's a hard choice to make. We oftentimes have more programs than we have space for.
Here is a post that Mark wrote on the VPR blog. Mark has a lot to say, but I'll read a part of it. He says, I love the vast majority of your weekday programming, as that is when I primarily listen online. Occasionally, the second hour of On Point is a bit of a drag compared to the first hour. I'd say that approximately 8 times out of 10, the story at 2 p.m. is absolutely pointless, he writes. And he says, I'd rather hear Talk of the Nation at 2 o'clock. I'm an avid listener and commentator to Vermont Edition at noon, and I find most shows interesting and engaging. One critique I have of Vermont Edition is that I think the interviews with local, state, and federal politicians are a bit soft. I think you can address the Talk of the Nation suggestion.
Oh, absolutely. Talk of the Nation, unfortunately, if you didn't hear, it was actually announced that program is going to go out of production at the end of June. Talk of the Nation is not a program that we carry, so that's not something that you might have heard a lot about from us besides the day that was announced. But we're very excited that Here and Now is a program we do carry, and that's out of WBUR. Are in Boston at 1 o'clock. That's a program that NPR is now going to be partnering with Here and Now. Instead of putting their resources to Talk of the Nation, they're going to be partnering with WBUR and Here and Now to take a look at that program. And it's one of my favorite programs. Here and Now is that midday news magazine program, and they're going to extend it for an hour. We're looking at that right now. But it's pretty exciting, the partnership and what might come from that.
Let's take this call from Terry in Huntington. Hi, Terry.
Hi. Hey, I'm a retired naval officer, and I love most of your shows, especially the game shows like Says You. And I don't care for the story, but what I called about was to tell you that I'm sometimes a little bit annoyed with your coverage of military-related things, and this applies to NPR itself as well, that you often throw around military terminology because you read it somewhere or they picked it up from a press release or something without necessarily knowing what you're saying and kind of misusing things.
Any examples, Terry?
Well, the one that I specifically remember recently was somebody saying that the 9mm weapon that was used in something or other was smaller, than the rifle that was also used. And the rifle that was used was 5.56 millimeter. Definitely smaller than 9mm.
Uh-huh. Okay.
The weapon itself is physically smaller, but the round is not. And that's the sort of thing that immediately anybody that knows anything about it says these people don't know what they're talking about.
All right, it turns
people off. And I would say that your coverage of F-35 has had similar issues where terminology about afterburner and noise profiles gets thrown around without the person who's reporting really seeming to understand what it is they're talking about.
Okay, that's a good,
that's my comment.
Good
you,
message.
Terry.
Thank you very much, Terry, that we should be very careful with our terminology around military and the F-35s. We'll be watchful of that. Thank you for that reminder.
To Hyde Park now, where Avril is calling. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
Oh, First of all, I just want to tell you that I think that On Point, both segments, the first segment and the second, are just wonderful. So please, please keep that going. But I'm still waiting to get classical radio. I've been a supporter for many years, and I made it clear to Mark Vogelsang when he left, when the change was made, and he said, well, you know, this will work out over time. Well, it's a long time, and I don't know why Lamoille County cannot get classical radio.
Avril, thanks for the call.
Thank you very much, Avril. I know that there are certainly areas of the state that VPR Classical does not cover. I acknowledge that. We are looking for ways to serve more of the state. At this point, I would encourage you to look at an HD radio. If you get a good VPR signal from 107.9, I'm sure that you'd get a very strong HD signal, an HD radio. The price of those has come down. Basically, it's taking that FM signal that comes to you at 107.9, and it basically offers additional channels. It funnels out those additional channels. That's what the HD radio does.
It would have to be the 107.9 signal, that particular
yes,
one.
107.9-2 would be our VPR classical signal. And also, if you have a internet access that's reliable, that perhaps even a wireless system in your house, you could listen to VPR classical through streaming.
Let's make time for Walter in Springfield. Hi, Walter. We've just got a short while, so go ahead.
Okay. Thank you for taking my call. My concern has to do with your corporate underwriters, and particularly I think I'd like to ask you to be more sensitive when you're taking underwriting from legal firms that are representing very controversial energy projects around here. Springfield, of course, we're fighting a biomass plant up in the northwest part of the state, a gas pipeline. These firms are being represented by a legal team that is very, very prominent in your sponsorship. And it really gets under my skin, and I think it probably bothers a few other people that are fighting some of these projects as well. I'd just like you to be a little more sensitive on that.
Thanks, Walter. This could probably occupy an entire hour on its own. But
well, first of all, we have more than 300 underwriters. I thank them for their support. There are certainly underwriters for whom there are controversial issues around. The stance that we've taken on this is that we've decided that if they're already an existing underwriter, or if they come to us and they want to underwrite, that we will go ahead and accept their underwriting, because it's more for VPR's sake. If we say no, that's in a way taking a stand. That's in a way saying that we have an opinion about this issue. So that's our approach right now. But thank you very much for that comment, Walter. And sorry that we're not responding to your needs in the way that you need right now.
In Richmond, Don is calling. Don, I think you're going to have the last word.
Hi, I was just listening to all the various callers and noting that a lot of folks, you know, to their credit, are treating NPR as, or VPR as kind of their own personal programming. And I think part of, you know, like you guys talk about your demographic and how you're trying to reach a multitude of people. I love a lot of your stuff. I don't listen to everything. But I think it would be very limiting if I did like every single show, because you'd have a demographic of three. You know, you're looking for members and a wide range, and also trying to limit bias. I mean, just to the call about the underwriters. If you're a news gathering organization, you're trying to give a wide, you know, swath of information and let people sift through it and make decisions based on that information. But if you're an aggregator and you're only giving one point of view, then you're just another voice in the crowd. So anyway, I just thought if you could talk about how you're trying to be as broad as possible while meeting the individual, you know, requests.
Thanks, Don.
Okay, thanks. Well, Don, I think that if you take a look at our program schedule, you're right that we have a very broad approach in our programming, from programs like Car Talk on Saturday morning, a program about cars, to Splendid Table on Sunday afternoons, talking about our food, to news programs like Vermont Edition that really do cover what's happening in our region, along with the BBC from International. So we do try to provide a program schedule that will provide a broad array of programming, along with our musical programming in the evenings, to meet the needs of our existing listeners, who tend to be 45 and up. That's the demographic that public radio really targets, but who would also welcome new listeners. I've been impressed that We've heard from a number of younger listeners in this program over the last hour, people who are tuning into VPR, and that's wonderful. I really enjoy hearing that, because that's one of the things that we're focusing on, is how do we bring younger listeners into the fold? And that's also a consideration that we take as we look at new program options.
VPR President Robin Turneau, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, Steve. It's been terrific.
We welcome comments in a variety of ways if folks want to continue the conversation. Our program was produced by Franny Bastian and Michelle Jeffrey and directed by Peter Biello. I'm Steve Zind. NPR News is next, followed by Fresh Air.